Hi, I'm Taylor Smurl, and I'm an experienced bartender.
And I'm Tommy Smurl. I'm an experienced drinker.
He's my dad, and together this is...
Neat! A weekly booze cast.
With history lessons, trivia, and a twist.
So pull up a stool to the bar and join us for the lowdown on your highball.
Hello, hi, welcome back to the show. Hey, Dad, how you doing?
Hello, Tay, doing good. Just enjoying this lovely weather. If you hear any booming in the background, it's a thunderstorm rolling by.
I'm jealous. We could use a big old storm up here. It's hot as hell.
Yeah, it's been pretty hot here, too, and they've been telling us we're supposed to have storms all day today, and here it is almost 5:30, and it finally is raining. Finally is storming.
Wow. Well, did you have anything good to drink this week?
No, I can't say that I did. I did a lot of work, though. I did a lot of work.
That's the opposite.
So, I know. Well, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. It's been a very busy summer, and we've played too much and haven't worked enough, so it's all caught up with me now. So I've been cutting and mulching and cleaning out garages and all kinds of things like that, trying to get things back on track.
Well, that's good, but also too bad.
Well, but you suggested a good topic for us, so that's something that once we started looking at it, that sounds like something I need to get into.
Well, and that's, you know, I had an interesting drink this week.
What was it?
Well, that's the thing. My liquor store has a new, like, fridge that they filled up with, like, just little bottle cocktails. It's very cute. And I was on my way to, I was going to do some drawing in the park, so I was going to just stop in and get, like, a canned cocktail, like, a seltzer kind of deal. It's like, oh, I'll get one of these. I haven't had one of these in a while. And I kind of have, like, mixed feelings about bottled cocktails. Like, I feel like they have a time and a place. I'm always really bummed out when I see restaurants that sell them as menu cocktails, because it's like, charging, you know, $15 for a pre-bottled, pre-made cocktail. I don't mind it as far as, like, just if that's what you can afford, okay. It's more that it makes me afraid of, like, that we're slowly slipping back into the dark days of bartending in, like, the 80s and 90s, where everything was pre-mixed. There was no hand in making things. And, like, that really was the change. Like, the cocktail revival came about because people like Dale DeGroff started putting effort and consideration into making each drink fresh and a la minute. And so when I see, like, bottled cocktails are becoming such a thing now that actual bars will just have bottled cocktails instead of fresh juices, instead of fresh syrups, it makes me a little nervous. But I do think, like, hey, you know, if you're going to go to the beach or go sit in the park, you don't want to bring, like, a batched cocktail. That's a lot of work to, like, be out in the heat. Having a little bottle of something ready to go is really nice.
Yeah. Well, that convenience for the event that you're taking it to is worth the trade-off of it maybe not being the highest quality cocktail. But if you're ordering one in a restaurant or a bar, you don't want to settle for that, because while it's not universal, most of the time, if you think of a pre-made cocktail, it's not that great.
Well, and I think they can be good. I think it's hard for them to be on par with a fresh-made drink. Like, I think there's a loss of quality there, just, like, aeration alone. All that being said, I still have the bottle here. It's the On the Rocks brand, and they had a Mai Tai. And I've not had a Mai Tai, I think, in my adult life. Like, in my mind, a Mai Tai is a very sweet, very fruity, like, I don't know, I hate to say not good, but I don't think I would ever have... I would assume it's just a whole bunch of fruit and rum. And I was like, well, but, you know, anytime I confront an internal bias that I can't understand why I feel that way, I like to investigate it. So I was like, I'm going to try this little bottled Mai Tai. And it was good. I liked it. Like, it had good flavors. It was nutty. It was fruity, but it was not too sweet. So that led me to then look into the history of the Mai Tai, which, of course, is going to be our topic of the day. And yeah, I think that what I thought a Mai Tai was, how do I want to say this, is what a Mai Tai is a lot of the time now, but it's not classically what a Mai Tai was. And what a Mai Tai classically was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, and now it's just a bastardization or an abomination.
Depending on where you go, you know, this is, you know, one of those things. All right, so what the history of the Mai Tai. This is a... It's one of those drinks, like a lot of the ones we've talked about, that have some conflicting claims on who first made it. But the most believed story, and I mean, there's good grounds for this being the origin point, is Trader Vic, a.k.a. Victor J. Bergeron, who we've talked about before. He was the founder of the chain of tiki-themed bars and restaurants known as Trader Vic. So there were Trader Vics all around mm-hmm. the country and all around the world. But the first of which was in Oakland, California. It opened in 1934. Actually, its original name was Hinky Dinks, but as the tiki craze kind of took root. Yeah, but then as the tiki craze took over, he was an opportunist. He saw an opportunity. He had an image shift and a name change. But so the story goes, in 1944, Vic was hosting some friends that were visiting from Tahiti. And so he mixed up sort of a special drink. He had this rum that he was a big fan of at the time. It was a Ray and Nephew 17-year-old. It's a Jamaican rum. And so to sort of complement the flavors there, he added some curacao, some lime, a little bit of like rich demerara syrup, and some orgeat, which is like an almond syrup. We'll get a little bit more into it later. And he presented that to his visitors. And one of them declared, called it Mai Tai, which meant the best. And that's where the name came from.
It's the best. Doesn't everybody want the best?
Well, and, you know, it's a great little story. Is it completely true or that concise? Who knows? This is the story that he told. And I mean, what we do know for a fact is that in 44, Vic added the Mai Tai to his menus. And that's really where that first drink and recipe name combo came from. Now, the opposing claim comes from a character we've mentioned a few times, Don Beach, Don the Beachcomber. Another guy with a chain of tiki restaurants who created a lot of cocktails.
Character?
He's like these dudes that were just capitalizing on this tiki culture in the same time period. They were all storytellers. They all were weavers of nice tall tales. So, you know. But he posited that Vic stole the flavor profile for the Mai Tai from his menu drink, the QB Cooler, which he'd been making since 33. And this is true that Vic was a fan of Don's cocktails and Don's restaurants. And so he said, well, I already had this drink on my menu. And Trader Vic just reformatted it a little bit and named it something different and stole my drink. Now, if you look at the recipes side by side, the QB Cooler is just, for one, it's like twice the ingredients. It's a ton more ingredients. It's a blend of rums. You know, that almond syrup that I mentioned, that nutty quality. He gets his from Falernum, whereas Trader Vic was using Orgeat. So I don't think you could ever, like, the idea of combining rum with something sort of nutty and something sort of fruity, that seems pretty, like, normal. I don't really think there was theft there.
I think that it would make a really good movie, though, or a series. Nowadays, they stream all the series, so maybe a series. If you had Don Beach versus Trader Vic, and you have a story, whether it's a documentary or actually just a movie-type thing, I think it would be interesting as hell to go through all these drinks, and I bet people would be amazed at the different drinks, and they're both claiming, you know, that they've created them.
Well, and you throw Beach Bum Berry in there. There was another one that was in this, I mean... They were all slightly different time periods, but I mean, I also think it's worth noting that they're also just a bunch of like white dudes appropriating an idea of Polynesian culture. So, but you know, however, whatever the back and forth was, the more accepted origin story is that Trader Vic was the one that first had the recipe, first had the name. And that original cocktail, you know, if you've encountered a Mai Tai in the wild and you've had something that was very sweet, very fruity, brightly colored, garnished with an umbrella and a bunch of cherries and pineapple, you have not had what that original recipe Mai Tai would have been. It's a pretty tidy rum forward drink in origin. Mm-hmm.
And not just any rum.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't get the original Mai Tai anymore because that rum is long gone. But I mean, even just in the simplicity of the sweet profile, the acids, it's a lot more of a concise drink than what we think of, you know, a big fruity, like stretched out tiki drink. But I think the ingredient that really is most important in the Mai Tai, the one that I think is most interesting, is that orgeat, which I mentioned a few times. Are you familiar? I mean, now you are. But were you familiar before
I had never heard it.
This topic?
I have never heard it in my life, and I was thinking, what is orgeat? I've never heard of orgeat. So I didn't even know how to pronounce it. Not only did I never heard of it, I didn't even know how to pronounce it.
Well, so if you haven't heard about it, it's not, you know, it's in some classic cocktails, but it's not like one of the, it's a great cocktail syrup, but it is a little bit off the beaten path. Orgeat is, it's French in origin. And the name tells us a little bit more about it. The translation, it's a French word in origin, and it means like barley water. So basically, like the 17th century, the French would make sort of a barley, like a preserved barley syrup, so they could have those calories for the winter month. But the taste was rather bland on its own, so they'd add a little almond oil to it, eventually some sugar, some, you know, rose water or orange blossom water, cinnamon maybe, just something else to sort of punch it up a bit. Now, eventually, as obviously it was no longer needed just as a calorie source, but it became just a popular flavoring agent, the barley was phased out entirely and almond oil became the central ingredient. And then, you know, you kept some sugar, you kept some floral elements, sometimes you find it with some spices. And it first appeared in a cocktail recipe in the late 1800s here in the States. So specifically in 1862, Jerry Thomas, he made a drink for a visiting Japanese diplomat, and he called it the Japanese cocktail, and he put orgeat in it. So that's the first tie-in to cocktail culture we get. But it was a popular French syrup flavoring agent for centuries before that.
And you know what this visiting Japanese dignitary's name was?
I didn't actually write it down.
Tommy.
Oh, right. Well, that was his nickname. I don't think that's a very Japanese name.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't actually, but that was what everybody called him because I guess they couldn't pronounce his actual Japanese name, so everybody, he was known as Tommy.
Well, all right. Well, there you go, Tommy. The Japanese cocktail was made for you.
It was made for me!
it makes sense that Vic would have been the one to bring orgeat into the cocktail world because this is interesting about his own history. His family had a French grocery store when he was young. So I think this is also in his case as to why like the Mai Tai is his invention is it really it's while it was used in cocktails before that, like that he would have had a knowledge of it and like known how to use it. It makes sense because Jerry Thomas used it, but it did not become implemented popularly in cocktails in the 1800s. It really wasn't until Vic put it in the Mai Tai that it became reassociated with the cocktail world.
Well, I love almonds, so it has a natural appeal to me.
I thought that. I was like, well, you like nutty things. You like almond joys. You can make an almond joy cocktail. I think you made an almond joy cocktail once, didn't you?
Forever. I did. I didn't make it on purpose. I think it ended up that way.
You use like an almond liqueur, but you could have used orgeat.
Yeah.
Now this. Oh, go ahead.
No, that's what you're right. It was that, and I think I forget what all I added, but that is what it ended up being like was an almond joy cocktail.
Well, you know, this original cocktail, as good as it sounds, would take a somewhat unfortunate shift in 1953. Basically, Vic was hired to create cocktail menus for some popular Hawaiian tourist hotels, the Royal Hawaiian and the Moana Surfrider Hotel. And he tried to make the cocktails a little bit sweeter, a little bit more like kind of like fluffed up for the tourist palate, you know, like make a bigger drink, you can charge more money, you don't want expensive ingredients in there. You want some cheaper stuff in there. So this is when you get the orange juice and the pineapple juice and the, you know, kind of whatever rum you can get, a blend of rums, a lot more sugar, very stretched out version of the Mai Tai that becomes the recipe at these hotels, which unfortunately then becomes the one that is popular across the country and then around the world, and the one that we sort of move forward with in time. So that original recipe is kind of forgotten. Now we have this new sweet, fruity, fluffed up Mai Tai.
Well, that was one of the things too that we also have found throughout history is a lot of these guys invent these drinks and then they don't want anybody to know what's in them because they want it to keep the, you know, kind of like the monopoly on it. So they don't tell anybody. So people guess and add some things in they think might be in there.
Well, I mean, so he was
that's
the
how you get these
recipes.
Other versions.
Like, he made
yeah,
these
that's
recipes.
True, but
he made them different, though.
Yeah, well, must have been didn't have the ingredients he needed, so but he wanted to use the name.
Well, and I think it's also just, you know, trying to appeal to a wider palate. I think a lot of people go to assuming, like, I'm going to give you something bigger and sweeter and less alcohol. And mm-hmm. you can, I'll charge you more for it, which... while I don't necessarily stand by that, I would not put that into practice. I understand the idea behind it. And that is what America embraced as the Mai Tai. So,
right.
you know, like in the coming like decades, it was the favorite cocktail of Richard Nixon. That's a weird legacy. I don't know. That
wow.
doesn't help the drink in any way. Richard Nixon regularly, there was a Trader Vic's in D.C. not far from the White House, and he regularly would go and drink some Mai Tais, but it was at this point the Mai Tai recipe had been sweetened up to kind of match this palate, this mm-hmm. you know, sweeter, fruitier version. There was an Elvis Presley film, Blue Hawaii, that came out in 1961. The Mai Tai was mentioned many times in that movie, but again, mm-hmm. We're still sort of working off the popular recipe that is this sweeter, watered down Mai Tai,
right. with lots of juices and easily batched, you know, at least as far as the mixing part, they could batch it and then just pour it with a couple of shots of rum or something like that, and there you go.
Well, and this is really what, especially when we move forward into like the 70s and, of course, the 80s, mm-hmm. as cocktails are being kind of dumbed down, we don't have fresh juices behind bars, we don't have fresh syrups behind bars, we have a lot of premixes, a lot of those big plastic jugs with plastic mm-hmm. pour spouts on it. The Mai Tai gets turned into one of those, and if you got a Mai
right.
Tai at a bar, you were probably getting something poured from a big plastic bottle, just corn syrup and coloring and, you know, delicate orgeat and fresh lime juice and refined bittersweet curacao. These were not present. It was just a combination of artificial flavors in a bottle.
Well, that was my impression of a Mai Tai and why I never had even thought of ever getting one, because that's what I thought they were. And it wasn't until getting ready for this that when I read the actual ingredients of the original Mai Tai, I said, I think I would enjoy that. The thing that it became is not something that I would want to drink.
Well, and it really wasn't until, when I say it wasn't until the Cocktail Revival, it's really, I think it's the latter half of the Cocktail Revival. Because really the Cocktail Revival started in the, I mean, we talked about it, like late 80s, early 90s. But that part was when we were bringing back, you know, properly made old fashions and Manhattans and, you know, martinis, like more mm-hmm. respected, revered, like pre-Prohibition cocktails, Prohibition era.
Right.
It took us a mm-hmm. while to get around to applying that same sort of love and care to drinks that have been associated with more maligned movements, which the tiki movement was. Like, it eventually became, a lot of those bottled drinks were things that originated. I mean, we talked about this when we talked about like the Singapore Sling, that you knew that mm-hmm. as sort of just like a mix, you know?
Right.
Or mm-hmm. like the Zombie. That was just a mix of stuff.
The Zombie.
Like whatever.
Yeah. Just all bunch of liquors poured in together.
Yeah. So it was sort of a little more recently. I mean, we're still talking. I always feel like when I talk about the Cocktail Revival, I'm talking about such recent times because I've worked through all of it. But it's like, mm-hmm. no, we're talking like beginning origins, like early 90s, the height of it being like early 2000s. Now we're like 20, arguably 30 years into like the quote unquote cocktail revival. Like, it's been revived.
Well, and here's the thing too, it if you're going to use fresh ingredients, an original Mai Tai is simpler to make than the thing that it became with all the other juices. Yeah. If you were going to do it, you know, fresh juices to fresh juices and stuff.
Well, and I think that's, you know, now, I mean, and I remember this, you know, I remember trying out now that, like, the one time I probably did have, like, a proper Mai Tai, working at a bar where we had been given a sample of, there's, like, one brand of, oh gosh, I can't remember the brand, but it's like a bottled orgeat that has an alcoholic base to it, so they sell it in liquor stores, and when mm-hmm. they were first on the market, they were dropping off a lot of free bottles at a lot of bars, and a bar I was working at the time had been given a bottle, and one of the other bartenders was like, I'm gonna make a Mai Tai, and in my head, I'm like, do you need a blender for that? Like, what do you need for that? He just mixed it up real simple, and I remember trying it, and like, that's a Mai Tai? Like, no. I kind of forgot about that. They're like, talking about the suspect. It's like, oh, you know what? I do remember that. And it was a very, like, it is. Like, it's a very simple build. It is not, it's it, mm-hmm. outside of the orgeat being maybe a little off the beaten path for every cocktail bar to have. It is otherwise very, very basic stuff. So
right.
you can get a yeah. good Mai Tai. You don't have to go to mm-hmm. a tiki bar to get a good Mai Tai. You know, like going and ordering something that has passion fruit syrup or fresh pineapple juice, some of those things you kind of expect to go to a certain place to get. But a Mai Tai,
flaring them.
Pretty much, well, you know, like I think a well stocked just cocktail bar would probably have everything mm-hmm. to make this, which is cool.
Yeah.
And you know, that's like, you know, you might, don't be afraid if you see it on a menu. Maybe ask some questions if it's made classic or, you know, with a lot of juice, but they probably can make it if they're advertising it.
Well, you go into a bar and say, I'd like a original Mai Tai, and by the way, I brought my own orgeat if you need it.
Don't do that. That's illegal. They can't mix with something you bring in. They could get in a lot of trouble if they do that.
So, really? Yes. I carry orgeat to all the bars I go to because they don't usually have it, and I like it in my drinks.
Nobody will feel comfortable doing that, just as a blanket statement.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, don't.
Well, I learned that then.
But you can buy orgeat. It's readily available. You can find it on the internet. You can find it at your liquor store. And, hey, you can make it really easily. It's not hard. You're basically, honestly, I've seen some quick and dirty, like, large batch orgeat recipes where you just use almond milk because, hey, you're not. It is kind of almond. Like, the first step, I've made orgeat before. The first step is you're basically making a nut milk. Like, you know, mm-hmm. blend up. I made a pistachio orgeat in particular, but, like, you blend it up, you let it soak in water, and you extract the milk, and then you sweeten it with sugar, and you add whatever other flavorings you want. But it is, you can, if you want to make it quick and dirty, you can make it with, like, almond milk. Mm-hmm. It's not that much more to make it fresh, but it is a very easy, not expensive syrup to make, and every other ingredient in the drink. Now, the interesting part, of course, is that rum. I mentioned there was that 17-year-old Ray and nephew. That is not, there was like a bar, oh gosh, I feel like it was in Ireland. There was a bar that offered up like an OG Mai Tai, and it was like a $1,000 cocktail, and it sold out
after
a year. Yeah.
Wow.
Because they had they had this original rum that it was made.
Oh, the 17-year or 15-year rum?
Which at that point would be way more than 17 years. Would be,
yeah. You
know, like, very old rum.
Oh, yeah.
And, but that being said, like, that is not the mystical, like, magical ingredient at the heart of the Mai Tai. It really just, you want, like, a good aged Jamaican rum, of which there are many on the market, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of, like, modern interpretations of the Mai Tai that respect the old recipe and just use, like, a blend of rums. They'll blend an old Jamaican rum with maybe something else, so you can find a lot of options out there. It's not really, you don't need to like spend a ton of money on a super duper high end rum to make a proper Mai Tai. You just need like to, you know, have the right qualities, have some funky Jamaican rum in there, you know, have something to balance it out. You're good.
Yeah, it's usually a Jamaican or dark rum. I mean, you wouldn't want just your regular Bacardi's light, you know.
No, you should get some good rum for it, but a mm-hmm. solid rum, like a solid aged rum, a solid Jamaican rum,
mm-hmm.
a good Curacao, fresh lime, you know, a properly made, the Demerara syrup in it, that's like a rich Demerara, which is 2-to-1, so 2 parts Demerara sugar, 1 part water. Very cheap, very easy to make. It's really rich, has those nice molasses notes you get from Demerara. And then, yeah, then mm-hmm. you want your orgeat. Garnish matters mm-hmm. too. It's over pebble ice, or like, you know, the little chip ice. And then the garnish should be a sprig of mint. And so this is cool. I remember this is like a common tiki ingredient that you'll see. Like when you juice a lime, you get the little, or a lemon, you get the little like hollowed out half fruit piece, you know? Mm-hmm. So the classic Mai Tai repurposes that lime by you turn it upside down with that sprig of mint and you basically make a little island. Because it looks like a palm tree with a little island. So that is the proper garnish for a Mai Tai. It's very wrong, apparently, to put an umbrella on it, because Trader Vic, that was one of his things. He didn't use umbrellas like those other guys. Mm-hmm. It's fine. If you want to put an umbrella in your freaking Mai Tai, do it. Trader Vic's not here to judge you anymore.
But if you put that sprig of mint on there, you should slap it first to release the aromas when you drink it.
Well, and I think that also, that, you know, you taste what you smell, and that sprig of mint is a pretty important part of the Mai Tai. It makes sense with all the other flavors there, too, which I think is cool.
So slap that mint around.
Slap that mint. Make some proper orshot or source it. You can source it, you know. Mm-hmm. Invest in some good rum, not expensive rum. But otherwise, very, very simple drink to make.
Yeah.
Classic. I'm excited. I don't, like, when I was researching this, I was like, I don't have any fresh orshot right now, but I have everything else that I could make it with. So I kind of want to just either hunt a bottle down or just start a batch. Now I'm psyched to try, like, a proper Mai Tai.
Yeah, I was going to look around and see if I could find a bottle somewhere online or something to order, because I'm sure that'd be wasting my time to go to any of our local liquor stores looking for it.
I think I'm pretty sure there is I think Fee Brothers actually might have a pre-bottled orshot that they sell. I don't know if it's necessarily the best in the market, but it's, I mean, their stuff is usually pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw a couple of places that were recommended that you could go to and get it. BG Reynolds and Fee Brothers, yeah, that was one that they listed too.
Oh, I think BG Reynolds is where we got our Fashionola too, and that was good.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
And that's where I sent you. What did I send you? Was it Falernum that I sent you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe both.
There's also a light Liber and Company or Liber and Company. There's one. They have one too.
All right. Well, there's your rundown of the Mai Tai with a couple additional notes about your orshot.
That's not your Tai, it's my Tai.
Yeah, and it's good. Or the best. There you
go. That's what it means. It's the best.
The best. But all right. Well, I hope we inspired you to try out a Mai Tai. You know what? If you run across the bottled version, it's fine. Just don't put bottled cocktails in your restaurants. Don't do that. I don't know. I don't want us to get back there. We're suddenly all wooed by convenience again, and then we don't realize. You got to learn from the past. You're doomed to repeat it. We don't want to lose fresh ingredients at a bar. It's good. It's good actually to have a bartender make your drink and apply their knowledge and their personality and their presence to your experience. It's good, actually. Don't lose those things. But also, if you come across one in a bottle, it's fine.
Well, also, if you're like me and had written a Mai Tai off as one of those fruity drinks that I had no interest in, now that you know that the original is not like that, then give it a second try. Give it a shot.
Absolutely.
We all deserve second chances, even the old Mai Tai.
There you go. If the Mai Tai deserves a second chance, so do you. So,
or vice versa.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Dad, for being here.
Well, thank you, Taylor, for having me. I've learned quite a few things. I mean, I didn't know about orshot. I didn't know about the Mai Tai original, and I didn't know that I couldn't go around carrying my own orshot into a bar and get a drink. I won't do that. I had a little side holster to put it in or something.
So I always want to arm people with knowledge, but I don't want to arm them with knowledge that might be used inappropriately at a bar. Like, ultimately, it's the bartender's domain. You walk into a bar, you think they should be able to make something. They say, no, we can't. You listen. Okay, you're right. You can't. No problem. That's the correct answer there.
Number one rule, the bartender is always right.
Yeah, or at least they're probably stressed and like going through a lot, and you don't want to add to that. all right. Thank you all for joining us. If you want to find us on the internets, we are NeedTheBoozeCast on Twitter and Instagram. We also have NeedTheBoozeCast@gmail.com if you want to email us your questions, your thoughts, your episode ideas. If you want to join our Patreon, hey, we have one of those. Check us out over there. We have rewards. You can suggest episodes there, and we will make sure that happens. If you want to talk about your experience with Mai Tai, you can do that
at Meet the Boozecast group page on Facebook.
There, do that. All right. Well, thanks again. I've been Taylor Smurl.
I've been Tommy Smurl.
And this has been.
The storm rolled over by, and that's why our connection cleared up.
I haven't heard any big booms, and you've been there the whole time.
No, must have already rolled through and put us in business there, because we were getting a little glitchy there for a while.